أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفكلما جاءكم رسول بما لا تهوى أنفسكم استكبرتم ففريقا كذبتم وفريقا تقتلون. In the previous ayat, we read where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to his great favors and ni'mat that Allah ta'ala has sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam for the guidance of the Bani Israel to take them out of the clutches of the oppression of Fir'aun, which very, very successfully Musa alayhi salatu wasalam took them out. And Allah ta'ala gave him a kitab, the Tawrat, a kitab full of hidayat. And then Allah ta'ala, after the passing away of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah kept on sending many rasuls to the Bani Israel. And the last of them, Allah sent a very great Nabi, a very great Rasul, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah sent him also with bayyinat, that is clear signs and clear proofs. And a very clear proof, one of them, that Allah Ta'ala had sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to protect Isa alayhi salam all the time. Till the time that Allah raised him from the ground and took him to Jannah, Allah Ta'ala protected him by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So these were very great ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala on the Bani Israel. They should have appreciated it very much, and their hearts should have become soft and melted, and they should have obeyed Allah Ta'ala. But the very opposite they did. أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَحْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ. پھر بھلا کیا جب پاس لایا کوئی رسول وہ حکم جو نہ بھایا تمہاری جی کو. And Allah Ta'ala says, whenever a Rasul came to you and he brought the commands of Allah Ta'ala and what your nafs did not like, those commandments of Allah which went against your nafs, so at such a time preference should have been given to the commands of Allah. Allah is the greatest, His commands are the greatest. But what did they do? They gave preference to their nafs, their own desires. And we should consider also, there are so many commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Do we give preference to the commands of Allah, or we give in to the dictates of our nafs, our desires, our lust, all our desires for name and fame, worldly gain, do we give in for that? This was one of the great weaknesses of the Bani Israel, and we have to see whether that weakness is not within us as well. So Allah Ta'ala says, when that happened and the commands of Allah Ta'ala were different and their desires were different, istakbartum, to tum takabbur karne lage. Then you people, that is referring to the Bani Israel directly, and it refers to us also indirectly, and it has come in the Quran Sharif so that we take a lesson, that you exercise then pride, and you out of pride you refuse to accept those commands of Allah. You gave preference to your own nafs, your own desires, what you wanted to, and you, with pride you scorned at the commands of Allah Ta'ala, and you found fault in the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. That is, from your side you think you found fault and you scorned at the commands of Allah Ta'ala in this pride of yours. So this pride is a very great killer disease. It even kills the iman of a person, that he refuses to accept the command of Allah Ta'ala. There are so many of us, when that command, for example, a divorce matter, a husband gave divorce to his wife, 3 talaq, the mufti, whoever the alim, gave the fatwa that divorce has taken place, but now it goes against our desire, we want the wife back again, then we will find fault in that alim also, we will find fault in the commands of Allah Ta'ala also, we will go against all the ulama and sharia, just because that lust of us, we want that wife back again, and we will find find fault in everyone else, and many, many other things like that, where we to give preference to our own desires. And this pride which is in us, this pride in the form of giving preference to our nafs over the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. And until a proper concentrated effort is not made on the nafs to subdue the nafs overtakes a person, and then he wants to be, and then he will do all wrong things. The result of this is, which Allah Ta'ala says, فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ أَبْهِرْ إِيكْ جَمَعَتْكُ جُتْلَايَا. Then you, O the Bani Israel, you falsified and denied one group of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. You said they are not Anbiya. You said they are not Rasuls. They haven't come with the command of Allah. In various ways you falsified them. And that is a disease which is carrying on till today. How many times don't we say, what kind of a alim is that? What kind of a mufti is that? We are falsifying just because he's giving us the proper ruling of Sharia and it goes against our nafs. So then we say, what kind of a mufti is that? What kind of a maulana is that? So we also are falsifying. It's a very dangerous thing. وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ اور ایک جماعت تم نے قتل کر دیا. And one group of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, you went to the extent of even assassinating and killing them. The Bani Israel were famous. They went to the extent in the huge big arenas. They used to take a Nabi, put him in a huge train and slaughter him and cut him into pieces in front of the people. They fastened the one leg of a Nabi to one camel and another leg to another camel and make them two go in opposite directions and tore the body of that Nabi into two parts like that. They went to great, great extent. And we should not think that it is not happening. How many times don't we hear of the assassination of ulama, which comes to the fore in what we hear of in Pakistan? In Saudi, how many ulama have been killed in the torture cells, and how gruesomely some of them are killed and tortured, and they have till today. Unfortunately, this is also carrying on. It is a very sad case in most of the Arab countries, what are called Muslim countries, and so Saudi is notorious for this. Though it does not come out in the public, but they are notorious for this. And Pakistan, where the ulama regularly we hear of them being assassinated. So these things are still happening till today also. A very interesting point, ulama mufassirin write here, فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ. One group you falsified, which according to Arabic grammar, كَذَّبْتُمْ is in the past tense. That is, you did that in the past, you falsified one group. وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ, and one group you killed. That is in the present and future tense. That is, you are still doing it. This refers to them that they were all the time behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also, and they wanted to kill him also, assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they had planned and made many plots, but only for Allah's protection. Allah had protected His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we see it is still happening till today also. The Jews who are behind all this plotting and having the ulama killed, whether it be in Saudi, whether it be anywhere else, it is the Jews who are actually behind all this and having the Shia and Sunnis fighting, Barelvis and Sunnis and Deobandis fighting. This is all the work of the Jews behind. So they are doing it till today. One other beautiful explanation ulama give, that one group you keep on killing, that though perhaps we don't see it happening now, but the killing of a Nabi is such a severe thing that even if it happened one Nabi was assassinated, but Allah keeps it fresh in our mind. So Allah refers to it in the present and future tense, that this is a very gruesome, a Nabi who comes wholesome, wholeheartedly, only for the benefit of people, the true and real benefit, and he wants absolutely nothing from it, and you kill him also, how terrible an act this is. So Allah referred to it in the present and the future tense, that keep it fresh in your mind, that even one Nabi's assassination, one Alim's assassination is the worst and most gruesome thing you can do. It comes in a Hadith Sharif, four groups of people will get the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah. One is who a Nabi had killed. That is, that person went so much against the Nabi that the Nabi had to resolve to and finally had to kill that person. That the Nabi came only for the benefit of people, but he caused so much of harm, and he made people go astray and made people not come to the Nabi. So the Nabi, if he went to that extent, for that person there will be the worst punishment. Second is that person who killed a Nabi. That also we can understand how gruesome, that the Nabi comes only for the goodness of people. He doesn't interfere in any of the matters. He just wants the hidayah. And they go to the extent of killing him. The third group are those leaders who lead people astray and take them on the wrong path. For them will be very, very great punishment also. And the fourth are the people who make photos and pictures. Those people, they will be also. So we can imagine how grievous that sin is, that it is included in that group of the people who killed the Nabi, who killed the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So the making of photos, which today has become common with almost every person. On the cell phone, it's so easy to click a button and take a photo of our babies, to take a photo of the kitten in the house, to take a photo, Qurbani time, etc. Worst punishments are for those people also. And unfortunately, this guna has become so common right in the haram of Makkah. Perhaps Allah save us. For that reason, today the haram is now closed as it should be for ibadat, etc. Right in front of Rozai Mubarak, a person is taking a selfie. For what? To show the people I'm reading Salatul Salam. And right in front of Nabi Ali Salatul Salam, who came to stop all this picture making, and in front of him, directly in front of him, we are taking pictures. What audacity isn't there? So we can imagine whatever we are going through, it is the doing of our own hands. We have brought it upon ourselves. Tawbah is required from all our sins, and these terrible major sins which we are committing, and we think nothing about it. A person who takes a picture will never think of making tawbah also. It doesn't come to his mind also that I'm making a guna. In fact, he'll try and prove it right. It's a digital picture or something else, but the end result, the photo is haram, no matter how we make it. But the photo itself is haram, and we are so much involved in it that we justify it, and justifying a guna is much, much more worse than just committing the guna. And today, unfortunately, whether we are the learned people or the ordinary people, we are all involved in this, and we take pride in it also. And then we will share that photo with other people. In other words, we are boasting of our guna. And when we have reached to this level, then if our masajid don't get closed, if we are deprived of all the things, who can we blame? Not anyone else but ourselves. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand, and the Quran Sharif, which is our guiding kitab, to make it our guiding kitab and follow accordingly.